Well, I feel rather like the return of the native, but not quite. Certainly like Prospero's Island, this place is full of voices, echoes and memories. There's no doubt to me that it was once home, a place and a community that nurtured me and my family, and which, pray God, we helped to nurture. But we have moved on, and so have you. Many we know beyond this life, but still held together in that magical web of God's making, the divine communion. I've been called to minister in lots of places, in varied places. Coal mining community in North Derbyshire, the inquiring and aspirational world of London University, the melee of St. Martin in the Fields at Trafalgar Square, where one colleague used to say, here, original sin stalks round naked. Our own Ealing, up the road to Harrow Hill and its smart school, and now actually the most culturally diverse borough in London. And then East London with its Bengali population, and the shifting fantasies of Soho. So it's been pretty varied, really. So memory time. Hopes fulfilled, hopes deferred, loves enjoyed, loves lost. Faith affirmed and faith tested. And we're gathered here this morning, as Christians do, week by week, in an act of remembrance. Do this in remembrance. And what are the implications of that? It's not an act of nostalgia. It's a calling. It's a commissioning. It's an calling to an invitation for adventure with Christ in the Spirit into God's truth. To be persons of commas and not full stops. So in the light of that, I hope you'll excuse my asking, what are we really trying to do here? And at the risk of teaching my grandmother to suck eggs, I'd just like to explore what qualities really make for a Christian community. What qualities should it possess? What qualities should it be possessed by? And I believe there are a number of real ingredients essential to that enterprise, and they're deeply embedded in the New Testament, and they're deeply embedded in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, which is to become our life, the body of Christ. How is the incarnation of our Lord, his living presence, to be nurtured and helped to grow in us here? Because here is always a good place to start. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he blessed local loyalties. Wherever you are, be there, said a wise old monk at my theological college many years ago. Wherever you are, be there. Communities of people, like individuals, only thrive if they're loved. That's true of parishes, churches, schools, professions, nations. So firstly, any community worthy of the name needs to cultivate the virtues, does it not, of acceptance, awareness, tolerance, welcome, forgiveness, companionship. Those things give us anchorage and security, and without them, no child ever thrives, nor any adult. Care for the sick, the seeker, the misfit, the damaged, the fearful, the offended, the poor in pocket, and the poor in spirit, the dying, the disbelieving, the demanding, and indeed the shy and the tentative. I always remember saying when we first got this new church centre built, one of the things architecturally it really lacked was the ability for anyone ever to come in here unobserved. Because shrines are quite important, the place you can come into and find some space just to be you with all your fears and loves and thanks before God. So that's something to think about, isn't it? Our Lord accepted people before he made demands of them. He knew about the bonding of lives that grows from friendship. I no longer call you servants, but friends. He knew that belonging often comes before believing. But he also knew that the stronger the ties that bind groups together, the danger is very often in families, friends, and nations, the more difficult it is for outsiders to get in, to feel belonging. He knew that loyalty can make us too narrow, excluding, and complacent. When it does that, it has to be mocked and reformed. So let's act locally and let's think globally. There is no me without a you, and there really is no us without a them out there. That's really basic stuff. How do we link our community with the wider communities of neighbourhood, town, country, world? It's basic and it's very demanding. All of which, secondly, means that we need to be a learning community. That we need to explore the phenomenon of faith we've received with honesty and integrity. Not avoiding the hard sayings of Jesus, but scrutinising religious platitudes and bombast, and embracing the wrestling that goes on with the encounter of ancient wisdom, present and personal experience, the insights of new knowledge. Unafraid to reason, unashamed to adore, unapologetic to explore human complexity with graceful gratitude, and an awareness of our own unexamined assumptions and our own unexamined presumptions. We do have a lot to learn. And then we come across to vision, because for all sorts of very understandable reasons today, institutions, secular and religious, are defensive, really obsessed with the necessary management of limited resources, and that really tends to block generous vision, without which, the good book tells us, the people perish. Our world cries out for more fondliness and real discipline and kindliness, for more loyalty and hope, more trust in resurrection, as it quietly at the moment seems to fall apart. We're never obedient to the gospel if we just rest content with things as they are. Our Lord's always leading us on to look beyond himself to the kingdom of God. Vision. Which brings us, of course, perhaps the most essential ingredient of all, which is a sense of humour. When we lack a sense of humour, we lose all sense of good judgment. We probably shouldn't be trusted with anything. I've always thought one of the things the litany in the Book of Prayer lacks is, Lord, give us a laugh. He asks for everything else, but not that. Do let's learn to laugh together. Encourage each other to laugh. Because really, you know, at the end of the day, we're really quite funny little things, aren't we, all of us? One of the presents from the past I really treasure is a card which still stands on the windowsill of my, or on my desk rather nowadays. It's a card from one of the monks down the road at Ealing Abbey, who was a good friend when I was here. It's simply a picture of a little boy carrying a balloon. What it actually says is very pertinently, if at first you don't succeed, do try to hide your surprise. And it's valuable. It's worth being with me every day. And all of this, of course, really means challenging the many and various ways in which we human beings express and enshrine our separation from each other, our superiority to each other, challenging that as Jesus did and does. It means building a community in which diversity seeks to nourish and not to threaten, in which individual behaviour is tested above all by what it contributes to the common life, doing that as Jesus did and does. It means creating a community where morals are not about censoriousness, but about forming the likeness of Christ in each other. Not wet benevolence, but the shaping of a humanity that really embodies God's forgiveness and God's transfiguring compassion, as Jesus did and does. It means accepting an invitation to go on a journey towards God the Father with love, boldness, and under an authority greater than our own selves, or our own convenience, or our own comfort, or our own security, as Jesus did and does. So there, it's not soft, it's demanding, but he didn't promise us a rose garden, did he? But that's the job in hand, I think. We started with Prospero and Shakespeare. I may as well end with some. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, Ophelia hands a herb to her brother Laertes and says, "There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember." And I think it's in those, prayer, love, and remembrance, that grace and strength can be given to all of us for the task of mirroring Christ, who's the body language of God. The ancient Assyrians had a word for prayer that was the same as the unclenching of a tight fist. And it's just such an opening out to God, such an antidote to impatience, such a relationship with the eternal that really does enable us to gain simplicity of living and to hope for welcome truth in all human relationships. Our ministries begin with prayer, and they only survive if continued in it. It's in prayer that we're woken up and where our souls start to fly. So be it. I would like to do one thing before I sit down. There's a famous remark of St. Ignatius of Antioch on his way to martyrdom. He said that he was never more Christ-like than when he kept his mouth shut, which might lead you to think I've got some way to go yet, but there we are. There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. It seems to be appropriate on this 150th year. I hope you'll accept that as a gift from me. I hope you can put it in the garden outside and... when you look at it, remember that. Pray, love, remember. Thank you.